All my plans are coming to fruition. I taught Aaron how to play Magic the Gathering last weekend. So, finally get somebody to play with on a regular basis.
Now you're going to choose to get cards?
No.
I'm doing it online.
I actually enjoy doing the online thing. You can, like, if you buy the Planeswalker decks, they give you the code. Like, if you physically buy the decks, they give you a code that you have the deck in the game. So I went to eBay, and instead of paying like $15 each for those decks, I bought the codes for like $3 a piece from people on eBay. That's great. Their import-export system is really slick. Like, the export, to export your deck, you just go to the deck and click export, and it just, it's a text clipboard. It puts text in your clipboard. You can post that text online. You can save it into a file, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. There are websites that, like, you can go and search for, you know, I want decks with, from these card sets with these keywords. It'll pull up all the decks. Yeah. Pick the ones you want and you import them. The game just accepts the import, and it's like, hey, you don't have all these cards. It lets you import the deck though. And then just, it marks them as you don't have these certain cards. Part of the gameplay is you can earn more packs. Well, if you're buying packs, you get a bunch of commons and uncommons bunch of shit that you just, you finally get a bunch of duplicates. In the online game, if you get more than four of the same card, it just gives you a wild card. It starts giving you wild cards so that you can turn in your wild cards for cards you specifically want. And it gives you common, uncommon, rare, and mythic rare wild cards. Yeah. It's well thought out.
Yeah.
Especially for a collectible card game like that.
Yeah. That's a lot less tedious than it has always been.
Yes.
Like, it's just random.
Right. Well, and at first it was. They did the they did the wild card thing, but then they've started doing things like, hey, once you hit the cap, we're not going to keep giving you cards that you can't play more than five cards in it, or four the same card a deck. So we're just not going to give them to you, and we'll replace it with a wild card instead. Every so many packs, they give you a wild card. Like, open a few packs, you get a wild card. Even if you didn't earn it, like, you earn them over time after opening so many packs. You play games, you get in-game currency. Spend the in-game currency on more cards. And also on card styles and deck backs and stuff. Yeah, and all that.
All the other normal, like, in-game transaction.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
Yep. When I think I actually paid actual currency for some stuff too, just because it's like, yeah, it gets me this stuff quicker, and also I've been playing this game free for like 6 months, so yeah I'll drop $15 on it.
Yeah.
I play it daily because there are rewards for playing it daily. So
yeah, the cost to benefit ratio so far is so slight.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's getting to the point where it's like, what do you mean I need to pay $2 to get? Oh wait, that's fine.
Okay,
sure.
Total investment is
let's do
less
that
than like a normal like B-rated game.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that I'm really waiting for is the mobile, some kind of mobile.
Oh, there's no mobile.
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Any kind of mobile, anything for it would be great. Even if it's like deck management, just so we've got something to, you know, fuck around with for 20 minutes.
The problem with doing a mobile game for the deck management, fine. But, like, for the actual game is that your screen size becomes a serious issue.
It does. Also, the games are not, they're not persistent games. They're all immediate.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not like the Star Realms mobile where I think they'd have to change things so that you could play a long-term game.
Why?
Well, maybe not, but for mobile, it's... Yeah.
Yeah, it would just take fucking ever. I mean, so Star Realm sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's the next one I'm going to try and get Aaron playing. Because she's got a phone now, too. So.
Hey, what's going on over there?
Now you need to go out? Do you need to go out?
Hey, I'm not getting out, man. I got this.
Let's get this going. Hey, this is Tony.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers.
Whoa, there's only two?
This is weird. It's weird sitting across the table and just being us.
This chair. This is my old chair.
They're no different.
I don't know, but this is where I used to sit.
Right.
Years ago.
Yeah.
11 years ago, this is where I used to sit. And I don't like it now. I've migrated.
Right. You've moved.
Yeah. Only it would be weird to sit next to each other. 4-person table. That's weird.
It is. It's a little more weird.
You should ask Anna when we go to like restaurants and stuff. Like, one of the things that I cannot not comment on is when a couple is eating and they're both sitting on the same side of the table.
Like a booth?
Yeah,
that's...
It's like, what are you doing?
There's only one reason for that.
There's no reason for that. Yeah. There's still no reason for it.
No, there's not.
There's still no reason for it.
Yeah, that's weird. And I mean, I can see it more out of like... a newly dating couple, but
still,
you'd think you'd want to see them and interact with them.
Is it like turning your head and they're like right there?
Yeah.
But then you're also both, it's just a whole mess.
Yeah. It gets really weird when it's like a couple that have been together for, like, clearly have been together for a long time. Like old people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then I think they're just avoiding conversation.
That could be.
Like, they just deeply have hated each other for the last 30 years. So if they don't have to see each other, they don't have to fight.
Yeah. I would think it confuses the wait staff also if people sit on the same side of the table. Oh, you're clearly waiting for someone. Yeah.
Nope, we're all here.
Nope. Oh. Okay. Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
All right. So next week we're going to talk about Far From Home. Excellent.
Good. I have seen it.
Good. I saw it the weekend it came out, so it's been a while.
I am not excited for the new Marvel movies. I have a hard time getting into it again. Because, like, Infinity War felt...
like an ending? Yeah.
Endgame felt like an end game.
Yeah. Yeah, and spoilers, this one felt like an epilogue.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm concerned, especially because they're talking about doing things set in different time periods. So it's like, so we're just going to ignore the fact that you said we're done and just make prequels now?
Yeah. They also gave What's-His-Face full control over the Marvel, the MCU, Feige.
Yeah, Feige.
That is his name.
Kevin Feige.
I've only ever read it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that guy.
Yep.
Calf. And, like, apparently the other dude was, like, super conservative for the first series of them.
Right.
But this guy's like, fuck it. Let's just do whatever. Lady Thor, let's fucking rock it.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit last night. I said, you know, I can almost see if Thor goes off with the Guardians... like he does at the end of Endgame.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I would love to see the next Thor movie start with Jane Foster just doing her thing and the hammer just showing up. Like, what the fuck? Like, what now? Her taking it to Valkyrie and like, what's going on?
Yeah,
and Valkyrie's like, hey.
Hey, you're Thor now.
It's you're Thor now. Let's go figure out what happened to Thor. And the two of them together go off and, like, buddy cop it to figure out what happened to Thor.
Lesbian buddy cop space adventure.
I think that'd be awesome.
I think that'd be awesome, too.
I think they're missing a golden opportunity if they don't do that.
You know what else I saw when we saw Spider-Man on Sunday?
What's that?
Have you seen the poster for the new Wonder Woman?
Which poster? I saw one like it's really bright.
Yeah, it's like
it looks like Thor
rainbow.
It looks like Thor Ragnarok.
It looks exactly like Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
that's what I thought too when I passed it. I was like,
that design aesthetic is,
yeah, that like 80s rainbow metallic design aesthetic.
It's Wonder Woman 1984. So, but also, it looked a lot like it Thor.
Very Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Which, like, in theory, I'm here for, but also
it breaks the story that they established. She was in hiding for decades, except for in the 80s.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And with the DC universe.
Oh, it's pretty fractured right now.
That's a train wreck.
Have you seen anything coming out of that, the Joker movie?
The one with, Joaquin?
Yeah.
It looks terrible.
It does.
It looks
awful. It really does.
You know what I don't need from the Joker? A backstory. I don't even know some sob story about how he... I don't want that.
I only want it if a third of the way through the movie, it just starts over and it's a different backstory. And a third of the way through, it's a different backstory.
That'd be good.
Because that's how, like, there's, like, they've established that where he just, every time he tells his backstory, it's a different one. And so he just starts telling a different backstory each time. Mm. That would be great. I don't need one solid backstory.
But that's not what they're going
to
do.
No.
Because that's not how this works. But that was like the best part of Heath Ledger's Joker. Like,
yeah.
He just made up a story every time because it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
Like, the point of the character is that it doesn't matter.
Yep. So. I am really excited about the DCU, the TV Arrowverse crossover that they're going to do this year. They're doing Crisis on the Infinite Earths but they're getting Brandon Routh to put the Superman suit back on.
Really?
There's rumors that they're getting Mark Hamill to be the Joker. They have confirmed that they're getting Kevin Conroy to play Bruce Wayne. They're getting Burt Ward, the original, the 1960s Robin. They're getting him back. They're doing
fucked up thing.
They're doing some deep cuts to get people to play some of these characters that they've played before in other things. I'm excited. Linda Carter's supposed to be back as Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's been in the Arrowverse stuff because she played the President of the United States in Supergirl.
I have vague recollections of that.
Yeah.
I stopped watching Supergirl like midway through the season, I think.
That's fine.
It's very
you didn't make a bad choice. I don't think it's for you.
Very CW.
It is.
I can't do any more CW.
I like Supergirl. At this point, Arrow has a half season left, and I'm going to stick it through for that. Flash, I still like Flash. They've been doing a good job with that. Because, like, they were figuring it out with Arrow. Then when Flash came in, they really kind of, like, yeah, we know what we're doing now. And they did a good job with that.
I never got into Arrow. I got, like, two episodes in, and I was like, I don't like this.
No, it's not great. It was their Batman analog because they didn't have rights to Batman.
Yeah.
So we're recording. How's work?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, and I don't give a shit about him. Just like.
Yeah.
The most I care about that person or that character is him on Ninja Warrior.
Right.
Because that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because that dude's ripped.
Yeah, like he does the... There's a word for it. The whatever pull-ups. Where he does the pull-ups with the bar. Like the bar with the hooks. So he does the pull-up and then goes up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a like the iron... Ladder. The ladder. There's
something, yeah.
There's something.
Yeah.
Can you not do that right here while we're recording?
Okay. No one else can do it.
I mean, we have a dining room table. Thank you.
Do you have any idea when that Chromebook could be?
No. I'll look for it later. I have no idea. Do you know where your power cord for it is?
Yeah.
All right. After you're done eating, pull your power cord out. If I find it, I'll put it on the charger.
Okay,
you would make more than one trip.
Use the bag.
There's that.
Gave you a container.
Oh, I am excited about that one though, because I do watch a few of those shows.
Like just enough of them. Like I watched the crossover, the Flash Supergirl crossover.
Yeah.
And the Arrow people are in it, and I don't know any of the Arrow people.
Right. Like, they do a pretty decent job with the crossovers that you can.
Yeah.
Like you can watch just your episode of the crossover and or not. You can flat out skip all the crossover stuff if you're just a casual watcher of one series. It's like, oh, the crossover episode's here. Just skip that. And I think it will matter more this year for Arrow just because they're using this to end
Arrow.
Yeah. So, but it's time. Like they've run out of they've seriously run out of stuff to do with it.
Listen, Supergirl is still on the air, Tony. There's always something else you can do in another season.
Yeah, but last year, like, they... See, with Arrow, they did this thing where the first year they did a current time story and a flashback to 5 years ago.
Yeah,
the shipwreck. The shipwreck. Well, they did that for 5 years. And then they're like, oh, shit.
5 years?
We caught up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So then they had
years?
Yeah. Then they had to do like this stuff. It's like, well, here's other stuff you didn't see happen throughout the course of time. This last year, they're like, we're gonna do stuff in the future.
Oh.
These are their kids doing stuff running around in the future, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, this is dumb. All saw Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shtick is worn off.
Yeah, like they established that device. And at some point, they could have just been, you know, like, you know what? We can end
just,
it now.
We can just not do it.
Right.
They don't have to do it.
They just kept going with it.
Then you could even have a whole episode about living in the moment.
Yeah.
When you put right? it to bed. Have you watched Fleabag?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Fleabag is incredible. Okay. But my favorite thing about it is the main chick breaks the fourth wall as just like as an internal monologue. She'll like just like pause and look at the camera and do like an internal monologue. So the best thing they do on it, in the second season, she's talking to someone and then she does it and the guy's like, where'd you just go? And she's like, what? What is he talking about? There, again, what did you just do? That's incredible. It's amazing.
That's good.
I love it. And the guy is Moriarty.
Oh, sure. I like that guy.
And I like that guy too.
Yeah.
Ah, he's really good.
I finished The Boys.
So did I.
That was really good.
It was really good.
I watched the last couple episodes again when Holden watched it. Because, like, he's like, can I watch another episode? Sure.
Yeah.
Let's watch it.
Yeah.
And the ending was, that was a mind fuck.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
It was so fucking creepy.
Yeah.
He's so fucking creepy. And he just gets creepier the entire time.
And the actor plays him so well.
Oh, he's so good.
Because at the beginning, I'm like, yeah, he's creepy. But is he creepy because he's just that good? Because it seems... Oh, wait. No.
Yeah. Even Carl Urban's like, no, Homelander's fine. He's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was good all the way through.
Yeah.
I liked everything about it.
But what's funny is he says that. But then you find out later that he knows.
Yeah,
he knows more about him than.
Yeah, it's like we got the dolphin. Ugh, the whole thing is.
That fucking dolphin.
It's so good, man.
Like, and the conversation he's having with the dolphin immediately before it, it's like, that's some weird shit.
Yeah, no, it's getting weird. It's probably better for the dolphin.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because that got weird.
Well, the world building that they do is incredible.
It is.
It feels so organic for a Supers world.
It does.
Like so branded and marketed. Like it just feels really authentic Supers.
So I read the first issue of the comic book. Yeah. It's like, all right, I got into the TV show, so I'm going to read some of the comic, figuring it's...
Simon Pegg is the guy.
I did. The art is not great, so it doesn't look...
Like Simon Pegg.
If you know it's Simon Pegg, it's like...
Squint at it.
It's like, all right, I can see that you use Simon Pegg as the idea for the character. But there's so much of it that's so different.
Yeah.
Like, they took the concepts from the comic book and then did something completely different.
Better or worse?
I think the TV show is better for it. I mean, I haven't gotten that far into the comics. Yeah. Like I purchased the first two trades of it. So, but like they're big trades. It's like 14 issues each trade. So I've read the first issue or two, mm-hmm. and like all the characters are there, but Huey is Scottish, from Scotland. Sure. Like he and his girlfriend are having a conversation and she dies, but it's not because A-Train just ran through her. A-Train was in a fight and hit somebody so hard that it, you know, splattered her, and he's still holding the hand. So like they've taken
pieces of it,
but they're changing it. Yeah. And I think they're actually making it better.
Yeah. Sharpening it a little bit. Cause that feels better.
The whole establishment, the establishment of the boys, they're actually an active team at the beginning of the comic book. And they bring Huey in because of what happened. But, like, everyone's an active member of the team, including the female.
Yeah.
So the characters are all just different enough. Mm-hmm. So it's like they took, like, all the ideas and all the characters and all the concepts. And it's like, that's great and all, but we're going to tell this story over here.
Yeah.
I think it's better for it. But I think the world building is all still established, which that's really good. I'm good with that.
Yeah, there's been a lot of, like that in Umbrella Academy, there's been a lot of like non-traditional, like fringe comic material coming out.
I like that. So I think the problem that the Watchmen movie had mm-hmm. was that it came out too early.
Think the TV show is going to rectify that?
I hope so.
I hope so, too, because Jeremy Irons looks fucking great.
I wasn't sure who he was going to be. Yeah. Like, in the original stills, I thought he was going to be the old man from, the comic book.
The hood guy?
Yeah. Right. I thought that's who it was going to be, just looking at him, because he kind of looks like it. Yeah, and then it's like you find out he's Vite, and I was like, oh, shit.
Hollis Mason?
Yes, Hollis Mason.
Wow. Yeah, but no, him as Vite is
going to be. Though, I think that the Boys TV show and Umbrella Academy and some of these others are doing the comic book deconstruction that Watchmen, the comic book, did.
Yeah.
But with the history that we've had now of having a bunch of movies, a bunch of TV shows, mm-hmm. a bunch of things that, like, all right, here are the established tropes. Here are the things that you know are supposed to be this way that you've – this is a superhero world, so people love superheroes, and superheroes save the day, and they're always good, and they always do the right thing. Nope.
Yeah. That's a lot more permeated into our culture now.
Yeah.
Like, because before Watchmen came out, what, mid-2000s? Earlier to now?
2004?
No, I can't. Because I took a loop to see it. 2008? 2007, 2008.
That might be right.
Easy. But that was pre-Iron Man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a problem for what Watchmen is.
Yeah. For the entirety of the MCU to not have been born yet, that doesn't work.
No.
Because Watchmen. We have what? Spider-Man before that?
Spider-Man.
X-Men.
Spider-Man, X-Men, some shitty Fantastic Four movies, mm-hmm. and the Nolan trilogy.
We had a bunch of shitty movies.
Yeah. Well, you had the Nolan trilogy.
We had the Nolan trilogy. We didn't have the trilogy yet.
We had the first two?
I think we only had Batman Begins.
Oh.
No, Dark Knight came out before Iron Man.
But did it come out? But did it come out before Watchmen?
You're not going to be able to do that without a microphone, Chief. Christopher Nolan. All right, here we go. All right. The Dark Knight came out in 2008. Batman Begins came out in 2005. Watchmen actually came out in... Not Watchmen. Watchmen. 2009.
Okay, so it came out after Dark Knight. Okay.
So we had Dark Knight then. Now, Dark Knight was... Probably still is on that top tier of comic book...
Yes.
Like, real comic book movies. Like, not in the way that the MCU... Like, it feels different than the MCU movies. It was a...
Yes.
I don't want to say real comic book movie, but it was like a real movie with comic book characters instead of comic book characters in a movie.
It, I think it broke the ground for what the MCU has become.
Yes.
Mostly because it was a psychological thriller. So it wasn't just a comic book movie.
There we go. That's a better way of saying it.
It wasn't just a sci-fi action adventure romp, which pretty much everything before it was.
Yeah.
Iron Man was. Yeah. I mean, the whole first string of MCU movies was. I think Winter Soldier broke the mold there. Like, we'll do the characters, but we're going to do them in a spy espionage movie.
We did have Iron Man for Watchmen.
Oh.
But it was just Iron Man. Captain America was next, right?
Yes, First Avenger was after Iron Man.
When did we have
Wrong.
What?
Hulk was after that.
I mean, arguably Hulk was before that.
Incredible Hulk.
But also, that's not an MCU movie.
Captain America was 2011.
Wow. That's right. Was that far after? Oh, that's right.
They were on three movies a year.
No, that's right.
At that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
They ramped up to that after they started bringing out Avengers
money. It was the Avengers. Yeah, once they got the Avengers money, they're like, oh shit, we can start printing money now.
Oh shit, we can make $1 billion a movie. Why aren't we just doing that?
Right.
So yeah, it was a different comic book movie. It was a different comic book landscape. It hadn't permeated like the culture as it has, like as it is now.
Yeah, like before that, like I felt an obligation to see any movie that was a comic book movie.
Yeah, just to put the money up.
Because just to say, look, these can be supported. I went and saw fucking Catwoman. That movie was atrocious.
I had to draw the line somewhere.
That was. I did it.
The criminally underrated Constantine twice.
I did not pay to see that one. I saw that one on cable.
Criminally underrated.
It's good.
It is good.
It's real good.
It's got Tilda Swinton in it.
Yeah.
And it's got Peter Stormare as Lucifer. It's so goddamn good.
Julie had on Armageddon the other day. And oh he's God, in that. I've forgotten. He's the Russian. He's the cosmonaut in the ISS. It's like, oh my God, I've forgotten that he's in it. And he steals every scene that he's in.
Yeah, I bet he does.
He's so good.
Great. So I watched Hot Fuzz at the midnight movie on Friday.
Right.
Who's in it? Olivia Colman. Academy Award winning actress Olivia Colman, who I just saw on the cover of a magazine, like dressed as the queen for whatever movie she's in.
Hmm.
The Queen of Hollywood.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
what I got. Olivia Colman is a fantastic actress. She's incredible.
I'm not, I know the name, but I'm not placing her.
Did you watch Peep Show?
Yes.
She's Sophie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I know who you're talking about. Yep.
She's also in Fleabag.
Okay.
She's amazing.
I'll get around to it.
She's amazing. Just in general, she's amazing. But yeah, it was like a weird, different landscape then.
Yeah, and I think Watchmen really deserves to deconstruct superhero movies. And Watchmen was great for what it was, but Watchmen didn't do what Watchmen could have done to superhero movies.
Yeah.
And I think that The Boys has kind of filled that niche.
Mm-hmm.
The Boys reminds me of a comic book I read in the early 90s called The Brat Pack. This was a fucked up indie. I mean, it was fucked up kind of in the way The Boys is.
Yeah.
Like it's a superhero sidekick team. But Robin is like three kinds of fucked up because it's not Robin, but the Robin analog is like three kinds of fucked up because Batman rapes him on the regular.
What?
Yeah. Like, the Wonder Woman analog has a pouch on her belt. It's like she gelds dudes.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. That she stops from any crime, whatever crime. It's just, she's got a sack of balls. Just hanging at her waist.
Listen, you see one nipple belt.
Right?
And then You get a bunch of ideas for alternative clothing accessories.
Yeah, that series was seriously fucked up.
Yeah.
But for somebody who was reading a shit ton of comic books, it was actually like really subversive and, you know, and it super indie, you know, hard to find all the issues of kind of thing. But
that's just because that's what not what the comic creators want you to find. Man.
Right. Yep.
It's destroying their illusions.
Well, you'd have to find shops that would order it because it was a rated M book. So you couldn't, there was some books like they couldn't even put out on the shelves. You had to ask for them.
Ugh.
Yeah.
It's a dark time of the rebellion.
It was. It really was. All right.
We actually have a movie to talk about tonight.
All right. The movie is I Am Mother. What'd you think of this thing?
I liked it, Tony. I did really like it.
I did too. So let's take a little journey back. Remember the storm cloud?
Yeah.
Remember my story in the storm cloud?
Yeah, it was a space one, right?
It was a space one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it was a generation ship.
Yeah.
And the there was an AI that kind of watched over everything.
Yeah.
And built into the story was a was the idea that if the human occupants were wiped out, they had embryos that she could repopulate the ship with.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. It sounded a lot like this movie, at least a core concept of the movie, like the establishment of it.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I didn't expect to like it.
I didn't either. And at first, I was watching it and I was like, I wonder where this is going. And then I started noticing the differences. Like there were they made a really clear point to show you numbers.
Yeah.
And the sequence numbers. And it's like, why is that number different?
Why is that number different?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is this one like 4 instead of 1?
Mm-hmm.
What? But I think was it the letter?
I think it was the letter.
Because it's been a week, couple of weeks since I've seen it now. But I think it was the letter. Because I was like, why is this subject D? That's why isn't the subject A?
Because that's how we start things. Yeah.
The first thing I noticed was so they did the first embryo and they do the first embryo and then they pop up the number of days later it was. And I was like, that's a really big number.
Yeah.
That's a really big number.
You know what? They're growing it. Maybe it's just weirder.
Maybe
it just doesn't grow at the same rate.
Maybe it takes 10 years to grow a 3-year-old.
Yeah. How do I know?
What? Maybe it takes 37 years to grow a 15-year-old.
Fuck if I know.
Right.
Might not even be a human.
Because, like, I did the math, and it was like, that's like, it's like 37 years or something like that. It's like, something hinky is happening here. Yeah. They showed us that number for a very specific reason.
They did. turns out they did.
I like that.
I like that, too, because it was...
It paid off thinking about it.
Yeah.
Like it gave you the opportunity to think about it without being explicit.
Yeah.
If
you put the work into it, you had something to, you had a thread to follow.
It reminded me a lot of Moon in that respect. Like, here's some things you can think about. Oh, what if? Oh, by the way, that thing you're thinking of, that's really happening right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, the movie's still going, so think about that on your own goddamn time.
We're
busy.
We're going to keep telling the story over here.
Yeah.
You in bed?
No, I'm just moving my stuff over here.
Okay.
Yeah. So what really attracted me to this movie was the creeping horror the entire movie that I felt.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't, there's no one thing.
No.
There's never a one thing that does it. But like just the idea of that robot as that chick's mother is just intrinsically off-putting. But, like, they have a decent relationship.
Yeah.
So it's like, I never really feel like the robot's abusive.
Well, it turns out once you do it 4 times, you start figuring it out.
Yeah. It's like, I never feel like the robot's abusive.
Right.
Well, I mean...
Not overtly.
From what we see of her upbringing, it is not abusive.
Yes.
The parts we are shown are not abusive.
Right.
But, and I don't know if this is just an intrinsic internalization of movies with robots in them. I just expected the robot to go mad at any moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Any moment.
And you're right about the creeping dread. There was just this, the tension just kept building.
Yeah.
And the whole don't go outside, it's a virus.
Yeah.
Everything will be dead. Oh, but the mouse.
Yeah, but it doesn't ever feel right.
Right.
That never feels right.
Yeah.
It never feels real. It never feels like that's right.
Yeah.
And then the mouse shows up, and it's not right, but also...
Was this a Netflix original?
Yeah.
This is probably one of the best Netflix originals of the last... I mean, we've done probably close to 10 of them now.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, like, the one with Redford was good.
Oh, Knowing?
Knowing, yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
Jason Segel.
Right. That one was good.
That one was really good.
It was really good. And that was like this high bar that they set.
Yeah.
That nothing came close
Very
to after
few
that.
Other things have even come close. Yeah.
This one feels a lot better.
Yeah.
Like it's like if Netflix gives us more of these, I'm down for.
Yeah.
Because Netflix is really starting to. I'm finding myself less drawn to Netflix movies or TV shows lately. I told you when we were at the lake, I watched Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to it.
That's fine.
Yeah, I just
don't
have any interest in it.
It flounders like they do. They do things that finally are some really good character moments, but they're like, but we're not done telling this character's story. Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, they end some characters in some interesting ways, but the whole last season also feels like we know this is a last season, so let's cram as many issues, like modern, you know, news story issues from, I mean, you name it, and it's there. The whole ICE thing, they do the rehabilitation of people in society. Genital mutilation. They do female genital mutilation. It's one of the stories. Yeah. It's like, what is happening?
Okay.
Right.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing. But also, I don't know if that's Orange is the New Black is exactly the place to explore the complexities of that.
Well, you know, we've got females from other countries and this ICE facility, so we've got the opportunity to talk about things going on in other countries as well as this one.
Yeah. Just doesn't really feel like the appropriate. And anyway, I'm not gonna watch.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't save yourself the time. It's 13 hours you don't have to waste.
Yeah. So. Yeah, anyway, so, like, this was really top tier. And, like, so Knowing was different in that it was a real heady movie.
Yes.
Right? Like, it wrestled with a lot of big concepts. And I think this is actually where Netflix has been shit in the bed. Like, these two movies have required almost no CGI.
Right.
They were pretty low-budget movies.
Well, pretty much the robot was... There's a lot of CGI going on with that robot.
Was there?
I thought so. All the outside stuff?
Was there? You know what? It's been like 6 weeks.
I think so. I mean, but there's a lot of it that they could have done practical also.
Yeah.
Like, if it was CGI, it was some good CGI.
Yeah. But also, like, there's only three people in the movie.
Right.
They never, like, practically there's only one location.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty low budget.
Right.
Low budget movie that they... clearly spent more time on writing than they did on the rest of the stuff, which I'm all about. Because I actually feel like it was pretty well shot.
Yes.
It encapsulated a lot of the feel of what I think they were going for.
The cinematography was really good.
It was pretty.
It was pretty and creepy. in inappropriate ways. Yeah.
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 So it really also really captured the feel of, it was very clinical in places, which is also what they were going for. Mm-hmm. And so it was really well done.
Good female characters.
Only.
But they were all...
I guess that's not true.
They were all solid female characters, yeah, too. Like, they, like even the robot was a well-rounded character.
Yeah.
And the characters did things that made sense. At no point did I ever feel someone was doing something that was just dumb for the sake of the story.
Yeah, and even... because she's a teenager, so... like, she's going to do dumb stuff. But even the dumb teenager stuff she does, I don't really feel like is that outlandish. Right? Like,
it was more out of curiosity.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, nothing ever changes in this bunker she lives in, and then something different happens, and, like, she just bounces on it, which it totally feels entirely reasonable to me. Like, in the entirety of her life has been this one thing, and then, like, literally anything different happens. She's like... thirsting for this.
Well, also, Mother, the robot, completely controls all day-to-day activity. Mm-hmm. So there is no... there's no surprises for Mother, at least.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing there that Mother doesn't control. And so, therefore, this is something that's clearly out of Mother's control. Mother has a weird reaction to. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what is this about?
Yeah.
Because...
so, that's going to be a weird thing.
That was a weird thing.
Her reaction to it was weird, but also the it's out of Mother's control was also weird, because she says something later that tells me that it was not, like, she planned the whole thing anyway.
Right.
A lot of weird stuff going on there.
So, yeah, it's almost like, was there a bit of bad writing, or was it... or was it just that much more thought out that...
yeah. Because it doesn't feel like they could... Mother could have planned that stuff.
Like the mouse?
The mouse... he doesn't feel like it was planned.
No. The mouse doesn't feel like it was planned at all.
So it's an airtight bunker.
Right. If it's an airtight bunker, you
how's
don't...
how's the mouse getting in there?
Well, Mother says it's an airtight bunker.
Mother says it's an airtight
bunker. Because if it's not airtight, then the plague, whatever, can get in.
Yeah, but there is no plague.
There's no plague, so yeah, that's all.
I guess it doesn't matter.
That's all Mother's story. And if you only know one truth, you're not going to question it. It's like the baby elephant on a chain thing. You know, by the time the baby elephant grows up, it's like that chain's not going to hold the baby elephant. Well,
The elephant doesn't know that.
They only know that the chain can't, you can't run if you've got the chain on your leg.
Yeah.
So if you've learned that this is your life,
yeah,
what do you have to question? Especially when everything else is so completely under Mother's control, mm-hmm, that everything seems factual.
Maybe the mouse was planned.
That doesn't feel like it was planned.
It also doesn't feel like Hillary Swank was planned.
No. It does not feel that way.
But since Mother is the robots on the outside, like, she knew Hillary, like, she knew Hillary Swank was there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole time.
Hillary Swank was another experiment, though, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Because of her age.
Yeah.
She was another experiment. She wasn't just somebody who lived outside.
Yeah. She had to have been.
There were some strong implications that all the people that lived outside were other experiments, and may have been how they disposed of their experiments, was they just set them loose.
Yeah.
But clearly the ones that Mother had, I mean, at least the one she cremated, because she finds the bones.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how fucking creepy that was when she figures out that those were human ashes, and she comes out and she's just covered in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She starts crawling into that oven, and I'm like, no, this is a horror movie. And then it doesn't. Because what you expect is like, oh, then the sides light up. And
yeah.
Like, then it becomes like a, oh, you gotta get up before the fire starts situation to, like, build, like, stupid chemical tension. But that's not what I wanted out of that scene. It's not what I got out of that
scene. That scene, it was a lot creepier.
Yeah.
What I got, a whole lot creepier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked Hilary Swank in the movie. The teenage actor was really good.
She was really good.
Like, throughout.
Yeah. And
the delivery of some of her dialogue, too. Like, some of the really technical medical stuff, mm-hmm. that was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I believed that she knew exactly what the fuck she was talking about the whole way through.
Yeah. That whole scene where she does the surgery felt really good, too.
Yeah.
She read all this stuff and then had to do it.
And, like, I really liked her reaction, too. Like, she left and, like, lost it.
Yeah. But she still did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the training that she's had for years to do these things, so she just did it, but...
But also, then, holy shit, I actually did that.
Yeah, like, holy shit, I just dug something out of another human being.
Yeah.
Like, you can read about that all you want, but then that happens, and you feel a way about it.
Yeah. The one thing that that threw me off a little bit was the... it just felt like Mother would have had more sensors around the compound, would have been able to better see what was going on everywhere. That was the one thing that felt a little off.
Yes. And also...
I know.
I don't know if she doesn't.
I know.
That's why I think the writing is clever, because there's a lot of implication. Like, when she actually talks to Hilary Swank at the end, there's a lot of implication that happens there,
mm-hmm.
and then the door closes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was just some throwaway dialogue to, listen, all the plot holes you found earlier in the movie, fuck you.
Right.
And, which I'm fine with. I'm actually fine with that, because it feels like it makes the movie a lot more multidimensional.
Yeah. That's actually going to be a conversation for next week also. Something happening at the end that makes other things that don't seem right all fall into place.
Yeah.
And yeah, that could have just been a way to clean up.
They do give it to you in the first scene. It's the first word of the movie.
Yeah.
It's the first word of the movie. The first word.
Hmm. So, I need to look up who made this movie and see what else they've done.
No time because, like present.
Because I really liked this, and I want to see the team that made this movie. Hopefully, they've done other things, and that's why it looked as good as it did. That's why it felt as good as it did.
I waved to you on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
IMDb.
Of course.
The movie, just so we're clear. Oh, I was mistaken. There was a man in the movie.
I thought there was. Oh, yeah.
Rose Byrne. Oh, Rose Byrne is the voice.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Rose Byrne.
Listen, there's a lot of weird, like the casting on this. The top billed cast is Luke Hawker and Rose Byrne. Both of them are Mother. And then the next two top billed cast are Maddie and Summer Lenton. And then the daughter and Hilary Swank are in other cast.
Wow.
It's just a very weird... This movie, they got 6.8 stars.
That's... I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's...
I don't understand that at all. And I did like how they just, throughout the movie, kept the two characters. They are Mother and daughter.
Yep. No names.
Yep. Because names would not have made sense at any point through the process.
The writers and director, none of whom have done anything I've ever seen before.
Wow.
Yeah. So, that's a hell of a thing.
Yeah. Get him doing more stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. There are numerous references to the Portal video game series.
I did get the... I didn't catch any more references, but I did get the feeling of GLaDOS. I honestly did kind of... Have a GLaDOS feel to...
I had a GLaDOS feel, and then there's one scene where she has her jumpsuit tied around her waist.
Oh.
That was the only other piece.
Okay. I might have just missed that. Yeah, that would have... I don't think I was looking for it, though. But it really does make sense.
It really does. It's... You'd be a perfect Aperture lab. Like the ruins of Aperture. Actually, it fits like... That could actually just be the story.
It could be.
It could just be the story.
That would have been really great. That would have been a really great reveal for the end of the movie. Mm-hmm. Just pull back and show the door from the outside, mm-hmm. the door closing its aperture. Like, what a great,
yeah.
like, that would have been amazing. Yeah. There was something else I was going to talk about. I just lost it. Oh, I don't know that I have a whole lot else to say about the movie.
Yeah, that's the problem with this movie. It was good. Everything about it was solid, but I don't think it's as good as Knowing, because Knowing, there's something to talk about. Like, Knowing raises some questions.
There's some philosophical questions about Knowing. This is just like some weird experiment that the robot apocalypse is doing with the humans that they have left. Mm-hmm. Like, that's... Or is it?
So I think there's actually a conversation to be had there. Like, if you assume that the robots follow Asimov's rules, right?
Right.
At a certain point, the conflict of Asimov's rules start to become problematic when they intersect with human nature.
Which is the whole point of any iRobot story.
Yeah, which is the whole point of any iRobot story, right? So this just feels to me like an extension of that. Hey, you guys were killing each other, so we kind of are trying to make it so you don't do that.
Yeah, we're gonna repopulate human society. I mean, if you follow the plan, the plan actually there's a lot of sense to the plan.
There's a lot of sense to the plan. It makes sense.
We're going to raise a human child, train it, make sure that we've worked out socially.
Worked out the bugs.
Literally, worked out the bugs of the social problems that humans have.
Yeah.
By doing them just one at a time.
Yeah.
Until we get one right. Mm-hmm. However many iteration that takes. In, presumably, labs all over the place.
Yeah, it can't just be done.
Right. But this is the one where, oh, wait, we've got this.
Yeah.
This is it.
We did it.
And also, Mother is a single consciousness, mm-hmm. but there's never any indication of that until the end. The implication of that is astounding.
Yes.
But it also makes sense, because that's why it gives itself downtime.
Yeah, to go do other things.
Right.
Although it doesn't need it. I think the downtime is for her. Not for the robot.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But also for charging, for...
Yeah, because, like, the
data backups to the central system.
Yeah, or the various other...
Whatevers, yeah.
Yeah.
But then once we have the one, we'll just start cranking them out. Mm-hmm. And that one can help keep the system going and also show the others that, hey, this is the way it is.
Yeah, this is just how it works. Yeah, that's a really... And the thing about it is, they wouldn't have had to kill humanity. Like, literally, they could have just waited around.
Yeah.
Getting the embryos doesn't seem like it violates any rules. And then just waiting around.
Yep.
Hey, and then I also kind of like the headcanon I've built, where this takes place hundreds of years after the last human.
Right. Like,
hundreds of years after the last human. They've gone through and they've fixed the planet.
Terraformed, maybe.
Yeah, like,
or maybe terraformed a different planet.
Or maybe terraformed a different planet.
Nothing says this is Earth.
Yeah. I'm on board with that. And then, like, the only time that, like, something breaks is the Hillary Swank. Like, the whole her killing Hillary Swank in the end. Because it feels really personal.
Yeah.
And it feels really like... It feels kind of like the pent up... I'm not a mother, okay? So I'm never going to experience the thing where, like, your kids leave you. Like, physically leave you once.
Right.
And then, like, emotionally leave you later.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm never going to experience those feelings. But stories have told me that there are feelings about that.
Sure.
Right? And that just feels like the embodiment... of the resolution of those feelings that, like, Mother couldn't handle, so she just fixed the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to end the problem. Which I also felt really good about. Like, you took my daughter from me. I'm gonna take you.
Right.
From you. It felt right.
It did.
It didn't. It's not right, but it felt right.
The motivation was there. Mm-hmm. And it felt like an honest motivation instead of just a computer program.
Yeah. And I think that might have been what convinced Mother to stand down in the end was she probably didn't realize how much daughter had changed her. Because, like, clearly she didn't have a problem acing any of the other...
No.
Any of the other presumed daughters.
And was it me, or did daughter and Hillary Swank really favor each other a lot?
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
Like, a lot.
Like, it felt like she could have been A.
Yeah.
Instead of mm-hmm. with daughter being D, or whatever the numbering scheme was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing about it is, I don't know if I'd buy that she... Like, the implication is there that she's escaped... But also, I don't know why she would just want to say that. Hey, I escaped from this place. It's fine outside. They're lying to you. I don't know why she just wouldn't say that, though.
Unless she didn't know. Unless she'd been living out there that long. Mm. I mean, you put a whole lot of headcanon into the fact that we got rid of her when she was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And she's managed to survive, and they released her to the group of livings that are out there that they're still kicking around for whatever – they're letting kick around for whatever reason.
Do they exist?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Hillary Swank is so unreliable.
Because she says – yeah, because she says the thing about the caves.
Yeah, she says the caves. The caves aren't real.
The caves aren't real.
And then she talks about those two people she was with, but also –
And she drew pictures of all those people.
I don't know if I actually believe her.
I know. I think it's what makes the movie so good.
I know.
Because there really are there's a lot of questions you can have about the story. Mm-hmm. Like the – knowing had a lot of philosophical questions to dig into.
Yeah.
This has story questions that it felt like – this felt like a really good short story.
Yeah.
Like that – That drive to understand the world better that a short story can give you. Mm-hmm. This really felt like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I want to see more stories in that world. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be with the same people at all, but just to better understand that world that we got a glimpse into.
Yeah. The inconsistencies of the movie feel really consistent.
Yes.
It feels like there is a truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we only get like fractured parts of it, but the truth is knowable.
Yeah.
But in a lot of other stories, it doesn't feel like the truth, like there's not enough there or it's too contradictory, but this feels like the right mix of unreliable information and reliable information for me to make guesses.
And they don't give us so much information that we can start poking holes in it, which I really love.
Yeah, they got that perfect ratio going.
They don't make the mistake that like Hunger Games makes.
Yeah,
they go too. It's like, we're going to give you all this information, but don't think too hard about it. Because if you do, then nothing works.
Makes sense. Yeah.
How can you have a third quarter quell and have exactly two people from every district that have won? I don't need to go back down that rabbit hole.
No. Especially if you have one district that almost always wins.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, completely off the topic of the movie.
Yeah.
You created this Facebook game that is now proliferating.
Oh, taking the world by storm.
Four instances of it now?
Yeah.
And I had somebody else who's not even part of our group was asking me about it.
Yeah.
He was like, what's this thing you're doing on Facebook? He's like, I need to know the rules.
I don't know where we were going. Anna and I were in the car. And she's like, you might want to change the station. I'm like, I don't care. I don't even like this music. She's like, you have this station on all the time. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. It's not like music's not like when I'm in the car, it's not like it's just something that's on, right? Like I'm in a specific mood to seek out music that I like. So she's like, well, what music do you like? Burr, 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 burr. I'm gonna make a mixtape.
Well, we've opened that door.
Now we've opened that door.
Yeah. It's funny because with the new car, I've got satellite radio. Mm-hmm. And so my go-to move when other people are in the car is just I'll throw on the satellite radio. Because if I'm in the car by myself, I'm listening to a podcast or an audiobook. Because like Julie's like, oh, so when that you know, when your trial expires, you're going to re-up that? I'm like, no. She's like, you're listening to it all the time. No.
When you're in the car.
When you're in the car. The sampling of times you are in the car with me.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Never overlaps with the times I'm in the car by myself.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Yeah. No, when the subscription runs out, then I'll just go back to Google Play Music for the incidental music that's on in the car. Otherwise, I'm going to keep listening to podcasts and audiobooks because that's what I enjoy listening to. But yeah, the one guy was like, hey, so what are the rules of this crazy game? He's like, I keep looking at it like it's an Enigma machine.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Sure, okay, yeah.
So if you're not friends with me on Facebook, you're bad. You're lost.
Or me by now, because it's my...
Yeah, now it's... By the time you hear this, it'll be half the world have done it.
Probably.
But basically, I just made the quintessential David playlist of the top 10 songs I felt really defined me musically. And then I put the list online and only gave the first letter of each word in the title of the song and the artist.
Adding the artist to the list was because I was looking at it going, I can't even. Having the artist there really helped a lot. Yeah.
Having the artist makes it doable.
Yeah. Yeah. Finally, I had to, last night, I had to Wheel of Fortune the whole thing because nobody could get the last in my last two.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Tony, your music is a completely different era.
It is.
When I wasn't alive.
And your music is mostly from an era when I stopped listening to new music.
Yeah.
So, like, I had established my musical patterns and I didn't step too far outside of it. Which, there have been studies that show there's a certain age that people reach. Like, it's an age range that once you hit that age range, you stop seeking out new music for the most part. There are outliers. Yeah. But most people stop seeking out new music or new types of music. So, like, if you are into the adult contemporary radio audience, like the St. Louis station, like Y98, once you find that at at an age, unless the station changes format, you kind of lock into that and stay in that same type.
That's interesting because, like, I feel like a lot of – because I guess I grew up with grunge and then whenever grunge became alternative, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, the music that still is produced now is still alternative, even though it's different alternative.
There is still alternative music produced.
Yeah, but it's, like, not the same.
Alternative music.
It's not grunge.
Alternative music has changed. Rock music's changed. Yeah, pop music
rock,
is...
Yeah, rock is way different.
Oh.
Yeah, like, your era of rock is not produced anymore.
No. No, like, there are still individual artists producing that music or really, really independent labels doing it.
But on the whole, it is.
But also, like, the proliferation of music in the 80s, like the idea that the music studios could say, all right, we're going to shotgun approach this. We're going to sign on every band. We're going to give – that's what they did. Yeah, like, we're going to sign on 30 bands.
Well, and we're going to get one queen.
And we're going to give them all $100,000. We're going to put them in the studio. We're going to cut a record. We're going to put out 30 new records this year on our label. And you know what? If two of them have, you know, we're able to post national tours with, we've made back all of our money.
And more, yeah.
And that's exactly how they did it, which for being a teenager at the time was awesome. I bought a lot of music.
Yeah.
Because that was the only way you could also listen to some of it was by buying it. I mean, you got tastes of it on the radio. If your friends listened to it, you could get it from them. We didn't have the internet. It was you had to find your own music.
Yeah, and there was a lot less proliferation of the indie stuff then too, right? Because it was just harder.
Yeah,
you could just slap an MP3 on YouTube or SoundCloud, and then your audience is literally the 4 billion people on this planet who have the internet.
Right. It was you made copies of tapes. You pressed a 45. You know, you passed them out at concerts. Like, oh, we kind of play music like Def Leppard, so we're going to stand outside of Def Leppard kind of, and just hand out our tape, try and get it to DJs. Mm-hmm. If a DJ could play your...
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That's the break you needed.
Yeah.
That's the break you need. That's how you get out there. I mean, now it's too easy, so you're like just lost in the crowd of people hawking their CDs on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, it used to be. There used to be a day when, like, somebody handed you something like that, you took it,
yeah,
and you listened to it. Like, I've been to concerts where people are like handing out CDs, like that they've clearly pressed it, and it's like, eh, no thanks.
Yeah,
like I don't even. I'm not going to play that.
Yeah.
Or there have been times where it's like, what kind of music is it? And it's hardcore rap. That's not for me.
Yeah, that's not my jam.
But. Good luck with you.
Yeah.
But this game, I had some fun with it.
I also had some fun with it. I like when people talk about me. I think I got one of yours.
Yeah.
Got the old one out there. That's all I needed. Put myself on the scoreboard.
Yeah. It didn't surprise me that Rich got as many as he did of mine.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me at all. As soon as he started, I was like, oh, he's probably going to fucking run the table.
Yeah, he almost did.
No. I didn't get any of his, I think.
Didn't you get the new pornographer's one, or was that on Luke's?
That was Luke's.
Oh, okay.
I got three of Luke's right off the bat.
Yeah.
Luke's a little more in my era of music.
He
listens to weird shit.
He also talks about
specifically the
music he listens to.
Yeah.
Like when you rattled off the three from him, it's like, I remember specific conversations where Luke has mentioned those artists.
Yeah, Father John Misty.
Yep.
He fucking loves that guy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I actually think that guy's playing the old Rock House soon.
Probably.
We just see Moon Hooch. I met some people from Wisconsin. Like, everyone in line was from Wisconsin. I'm like, oh, Father John Misty's playing here. I'm like, oh, I should tell my buddy about that. He probably already knows.
Yeah.
It's on the internet. Content from Zoom.
That's all I got. I think that's all I got. And I think I'm good for this week.
Yeah.
All right. So next week we'll talk about Far From Home.
Spider-Man selfie.
All right.
Peter Parker, adventure on the selfie.
Sure. That's solid. It was doing the 60s.
It's doing it in the 60s.
For sure.